Unorthodox's reporting from Israel, which we're sharing on the show this week, was made possible thanks to support from the Natan Foundation, the Maimonides Fund, and Tablet.
This is Unorthodox, and I'm producer Josh Cross. We're now on day three of Unorthodox's special week-long series of dispatches from our recent trip to Israel. On today's installment, we're headed to the Shuk. Honestly, after our trip to Kfar Aza on Monday and hanging out with dogs on Tuesday, we thought we needed some slightly lighter fare today. Which is not to say there's not a lot of meaning, just that it's a little tastier, if you will. We're actually taking you back to our very first day on the ground, December 8th, the eve of Hanukkah Shabbat. To shake off the jet lag and kick things off right, we went straight to the Shuk to meet one of our favorite foodies, Adina Sussman. This crowded, loud marketplace is also the perfect microcosm to see everything about Israel at play. War and peace, economic challenges, politics and pitas, it's all there. So with that, let us take you on a trip through the stalls of Shuk HaKarmel.
So where are we right now?
We're south of the Carmel Market at a cafe called Cafe Tamati. It's a bit claustrophobic, but it's actually awesome.
Mm-hmm. And it was pretty awesome. Let me set the scene. You had producer Ellie Blyer, who you heard there, and me waiting for a coffee, sitting on a sidewalk outside the cafe just south of the Shuk HaKarmel Market in Tel Aviv. We were there with our colleagues, Tanya Singer and Liel Leibovitz, at 9:30 on a Friday morning, roughly 4 hours after we had landed at Ben-Gurion Airport. Just enough time to put our bags down, take a quick shower, and head out for a pre-Shabbat shopping trip. We were also waiting for chef and author Adina Sussman, but we didn't have to wait long for her either.
Shabbat Shalom, Chag Sameach, everybody. Welcome to Tel Aviv. So happy you guys are here.
In case you were worried about Adina's cooking bona fides, listen to this.
Nothing better than a cortado and a microphone.
What'd you make for Hanukkah?
Last night we had 25 people over. Tel Aviv style, everyone invited within less than 24 hours. Everybody showed up. We had Japanese yam and manchego latkes, butternut squash, herb latkes, Jerusalem artichoke, chive latkes, and classic. Cauliflower tabbouleh with pomegranate seeds, green salad with toasted nuts and feta, an apple galette, a date cake inspired by the date cake that I eat here every day, and fresh sufganiyot made a la minute with powdered sugar. If you guys had been here, you would have been there. That's all I can tell you.
Now, we didn't just come here for the coffee or to hang out with Adina. We wanted to know what the Shuk was like for her, especially during a very tense moment.
People are out again. People are out. But definitely unprecedented times, and you never know what you're going to find in all your regular locations. But
you chose to live by the Shuk.
I chose to live by the Shuk. The Shuk chose me. No, actually, my husband is a very wise man. I met my husband 9 years ago. He's been living here for almost 40 years. He's American. And I say I moved to Israel for love and stayed for the Shuk. It's my community. It's my culinary North Star, everything, you know. And then this place is like my home away from home. Truly like two of my best friends, the owners of this place, one of whom is in battle right now. And his cookie recipe is in my second book. And Mickey's wife's family Jachman recipe is in the Shabbat book. It's like, it's not just a coffee shop. It's a lifestyle. This war is really teasing out like economic issues, challenges that Israel has been going through already with the judicial reform and COVID, like things that were teetering. Some have closed, some are on hold, 300,000 people in the army. So you see these signs everywhere, like, I'm a miluimik, this is my business, like, see ya when I see ya.
A miluimik is a reservist, someone who's been called up for army service in the IDF. The weird thing about miluim is that it's for literally everybody. Your kid's math teacher, your family doctor, the garage guy even. These are women and men in their 20s and 30s and 40s and sometimes 50s and 60s as well. So naturally, it affects the Shuk too. Walk around and you'll see the various stalls putting up signs explaining which staff members were in miluim today.
Life here is just so different, so immediate, so connected to, everyone is so connected to everyone else. Everything is impacted by the war, produce, prices, you know, what happened to the workers, the foreign workers. And also, I don't think a lot of people, even Israelis, realized how much produce came from you know, from the Gaza border area. And the I mean, everyone's impacted all over the country because of the war, because of who's not working and because of who's not helping. But people are pitching in. Everyone's going and volunteering. Last night, my cauliflower that I made my tabbouleh out of was handpicked by a volunteer and brought to my house, which is really nice.
At this point, having drained our coffee, it was time to actually head into the market.
This is the bottom of the shuk. The shuk actually started on the other, at the top, on where Allenby meets Carmel Street. Carmel Market is only called Carmel Market because this is Rehovot Carmel. It used to just be a standard street that you could traverse from top to bottom, oftentimes to get to the beach. I love that in Israel, you just slow down behind an elderly person. Mm-hmm. You don't try and elbow your way past them or rush them. You just give them their time. So you can see peeking out, there's the Hassan Bek Mosque. So Yafo, obviously, Jaffa has a lot of operating mosques, but Hassan Bek is the only active mosque in Tel Aviv. We love hearing the muezzin every morning. Makes me think of the famous Elie Wiesel story where when he was in Israel, when he was young, and he heard the muezzin every day, and he really wanted to meet the person who was chanting the prayers. And so one day he decided to like be brave and trudge up to the top and the top and the top, and he met the record player. Right. So, you know, during the War of Independence, this was active sniper fire from that mosque area into the shuk. The shuk was Arab-Jewish mixed ownership until the war. I would say about 20 to 30% of the people who work in the shuk are Muslim or Arab or Palestinian or Christian or many things. But the shuk is primarily Jewish owned, but there are Palestinians and Muslims who rent stalls from Jewish people and run them. On Muslim holidays, you can see how empty the shuk is because people are observing their holidays. And yeah, it's just become this vibrant place. It started about 110, 105 years ago on the top of the shuk. This area, the Yemenite quarter, this is really part of the Yemenite quarter, the shuk. It's like adjacent right here, it's where we live. And you know, Achuzat Bayit, the modern classic Tel Aviv, was founded in around 1909 at the top of Rothschild Boulevard, Rothschild Boulevard 1. It's about a 10-minute walk from here. And that was more Eastern European Ashkenazi Jews, but there were already a lot of Jews living in this area, and they saw a financial opportunity. They started bringing food and other things to sell out of wooden carts at the top of the shuk, and expanded from there, and that became the Carmel Market. So, commercial.
Let us enter.
We shall.
Let's go. After you.
You guys hungry? What's your food? Are you hungry?
Well, we are always. I mean, we're here. We're here for it. Whatever it is, we're here for it.
Drew's pita.
We have to feed Josh.
We're feeding him.
The radio.
The radio and Reshet Speciali Americai. Mm. Smells so good.
Drew's pita is very thin and baked on a hot stone. Imagine the perfect crepe, but slightly thicker and slathered in labneh, which is like a thicker, bolder kind of sour cream. They sprinkle some parsley all over it, and of course, za'atar, one of the greatest spices made up of sumac and hyssop and sesame seeds and other surprises. As we waited, Adina and Liel discussed some snacks and toppings on the counter.
This is taramus. Mm-hmm. Guys, this is like it's an Arab bean snack, legume snack. Very popular street food.
And this is what? Not tzatziki.
This is malfouf. This is stuffed rolled cabbage. And these are grape leaves, tabbouleh. They make all of the family makes it all. You know, we're in the winter, like winter greens season. Maze olesh?
Once the pita was handed over, I took a bite, and then I realized it was going to be a long day of eating, so I had better pace myself. So I let Ellie and Tanya take over.
Yeah, Ellie, this is on you.
Yeah.
Take one for the team.
Yeah, dude. I can't eat it all. You're here.
We're going in?
No, dude.
Toda rabah.
She doesn't want you to pay.
Toda rabah.
Toda. Not good, Tanya.
Wait, am I really? But it's not cilantro, right?
I don't know. Just pretend it's not.
Oh god.
Yeah, I have plenty to eat later. Oh, I kind of want to other people eating.
How is this?
It's so
fresh and tangy.
I'm gonna take one
and
bite.
Doughy.
So,
and it's like
so good, Josh.
Everything works really elegantly together.
The dough is like so hot.
Agreed, and it's kind of like In-N-Out Burger. You can order off the menu.
You want more.
You can get it crispier if you want. You can ask for.
You're wearing it in your beard.
Hot sauce or.
Are you even in Israel if you don't sample feta cheese? Off we went to try some, and spoiler, it's not what you find in your local ShopRite.
Local sheep's milk feta. I mean, it's all about the soft cheeses in Israel. Like, if you're going to get, you know, they're just so...
Oh, my
so,
God. Oh. It's, like, so... Like, all the saltiness you want from feta, but, like, mild.
Yeah. And
love it.
It's creamy enough that you could make it into a dip or put it as a filling for, you know, burekas. But it's also crumbly enough for a salad. And, you know, Israeli...
Fuck.
Israeli goat cheeses.
Gonna do that a lot.
I mean, I think they really speak to shepherds from biblical times till now. What are they shepherding? What are they milking? That's what we're eating right here. This is terroir. This is Israel. I think more than any of the other cheeses, like these are the cheeses that like are the most local and the most meaningful to me.
It's amazing.
Our mothers tried to teach us to eat our vegetables. And if they were as good as what we found here in the Shuk, that wouldn't have been such a problem growing up.
These tomatoes look unbelievable.
These are the best cherry tomatoes in the Shuk. They call them sukkariot.
Where are they grown?
In hot houses in the south.
Wow.
As you know, maybe you know, a lot of tomatoes are now imported from Turkey, which has been very politically controversial and also not good for Israeli agriculture. But cherry tomatoes are still 100% grown here. Want one? They're very good.
I would love one.
Little cherry tomato. They're like candy.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh my God.
This is what a tomato tastes like.
Yeah.
So what
you
is
do
it
not
exactly?
have tomatoes in America.
No.
Really don't.
So good. As you know, every day can bring perils here, so it's nice to see people are out. I think it's the Israeli way. We celebrate when we can. Right now is strawberry season. Hanukkah and strawberries are actually very intertwined, which is funny because in the United States, strawberries are a summer crop. Here it's winter. People are starting to make their strawberry cakes. They're so good. I couldn't resist, I bought some last night. I'm going to probably make some jam.
In the U.S., strawberry season is late spring and early summer. In Israel, it's apparently all year round, but especially December.
How do you understand?
Yeah. Pretty good for December 8th.
These strawberries were amazing.
Just the scent of it.
Look at that.
Wow.
It's delicious. Mm.
You know that strawberry jam Adina was talking about? You know what that goes great with?
So this is a famous stand, a bourik, and they make sfinj all year, which are the Moroccan donuts, but this is their Super Bowl because it's Hanukkah. They're frying them right there. They're covered in sugar. Does anybody want a sponge? No.
What? He doesn't do sweet.
Tanya
yes.
does.
I do all. Sweet, savory.
You can grab. I think it's 3 for $10 shekel. I don't know if anyone
has it. I have a 10 shekel. Yeah.
See, Walt, this is like our Uber Eats. Like he's picking up their donuts. Someone probably ordering them for their Shabbat Hanukkah meal. All right, Tanya.
All this was nice, but it wasn't the main attraction. That honor would be reserved for Yishtabah. It's a play on words. Yishtabah means blessed be his name, as in God. But it also means ish, or man, and tabach, to cook. It's Liel's favorite place in the Shuk, or maybe even the world. And he's been talking about it nonstop, like would not shut up. And now... it was time for me to eat there.
So we're at Yishtabah. Is it too early for a schnitzel hollow
nope.
sandwich?
Not for Josh.
To be clear, Liel abuses me because I will eat anything once. So. Okay. Shalom.
So what are y'all about to do to me?
In the last 3-4 years, the schnitzel challah sandwich has become sort of the cool sandwich of choice in the Shuk. I mean, there's obviously the classics, shawarma, falafel, sabich. What's nice about this is that it combines a lot of classic Israeli things, fried eggplant, schnitzel. It's a bit of a, what's nice about it is a mix of Mizrahi and Ashkenazi stuff all thrown together in a pita, which I think is kind of the story of Israel. It's very Hanukkah appropriate because everything is fried. And it's nice also, it's the crunchy, the contrast of the crunchy eggplant and schnitzel, the soft, smushy challah, homemade matbucha. You can see that beautiful layer of oil on the top. That's a sign of good matbucha. Matbucha is a long, reduced tomatoes, peppers, hot peppers, garlic, often cooked overnight, reduced till it's like very flavorful and delicious.
My question, and this is always important, is when somebody doesn't know what they're doing and they come here, how do people order it incorrectly?
Incorrectly?
Yeah.
I mean, I would ask the vendor to serve it to them as the vendor likes to eat it.
Yeah, like what's the equivalent of dealer's choice in Hebrew?
Kmo sheta mazmin, kmo sheta ochel, like as you like, as you would.
Right.
They get it. I mean, they take a lot of pride. You know, this isn't stall, but this is cuisine.
They're not effing around.
No, this is a very high quality stuff. It's very fresh. This challah is today and it's gone, especially because it's Friday, but really every day. There's no holding over of hummus. They're not going to put those eggplants in a fridge and then refry them on Sunday. Like,
right.
It's one and done. This is, you see a nice stuff that's going on. I mean, citrus season, so you have beautiful oranges with the leaves on them.
What it says above the fridge. It's an important detail.
Yeah, so we were talking about this before. This is the business of people who are in Army Reserve duty. So somebody who works here is in the Army and is not here right now because they're in Miluim. Which is, Miluim is Israelis who serve in the IDF, do reserve duty and train regularly so they can be ready for military situations.
Right.
I'm very excited about this.
Yeah.
I mean, don't let my calmness diminish the excitement I have for what's about to happen.
This is like the best trend ever.
Why? She already pitched us on it. Now I want to hear yours.
On what?
On why this is the best trend ever?
I mean, that
is now not a trend. Now it's a permanent staple.
It's because first of all, I think it's a fusion of Mizrahi and Ashkenazi traditions.
I'm making it spicy.
Yeah.
Don't kill me, but yes.
Yeah, you are. I'm definitely having a bite of this.
Yeah, like I don't want to die.
It speaks to the fusion of Israeli street food culture. And like no one, I don't think anyone even thinks about the fact that schnitzel is originally an Ashkenazi dish anymore. Bali.
I don't have hands.
And it's also, the fusion of Hebrew Jewish traditions, it's got the Shabbat roll. I mean, that's like
right,
a huge...
Right, it's just a challah.
Yeah.
So challah, I mean, it's served all week, but it started out probably as a Friday thing in the shuk. I mean, and challah is also... I mean, challah is universal in Jewish tradition, but this size is so perfect. And also, this is not like artisan sourdough challah. This is like hardcore white flour, possibly margarine. Definitely has some sugar in there, but it's so delicious. You know, like that's what you need. That smushy center. There's an amazing fish sandwich up there called HaKarmel 40, and they do this every morning. You see them buying just like the classic shuk baguettes and then hollowing out the center and then filling it with this amazing fresh fish sandwich where the fish is purveyed by the fishmonger right behind the stall. They have all their special sauces that they make on the spot. So, you know, there's also in Israel what's going on a lot is a lot of, like in the States, a lot of fine dining chefs have kind of left that world and just want to do this because it makes them happy. It's a vibe.
Hold on. I finally got this amazing sandwich in my hands.
Ready?
I feel like I need to say a motzi or something.
You need to say many blessings.
Right?
Many blessings.
Right?
Shechianu?
Right? It smells amazing.
Oh.
All right, fuck y'all, I'm leaving.
Bye! Josh and his sandwich.
Oh my God.
A man and a sandwich.
Like, how anybody could hate anybody else when some of those people make this? No! Oh my God. I'm going to need a napkin. Thank you.
I'm on it. Don't worry.
This is really the single greatest sandwich
on the
face of planet Earth. Here, let me.
Properly. Preserved lemon?
Yes.
Yep.
That is so essential here.
Right?
Cuts through the fat, richness, and everything.
See, now you're selling non-preserved lemon. It's in the book, and I'm like afraid of it.
Do not be afraid.
My wife is a huge fan.
Me too. I put in everything.
That's so freaking good. All right?
It's literally like...
Oh, my
God.
Whatever.
Walk and eat this, right?
Yeah, the lemon is necessary. Like, everything that's in here is necessary. That's when you know something's right. Is it has a lot of things, but they all are.
How is your head not exploding from that heat?
It's not that
hot. It's not that hot.
I can go home after now. Like, I've done enough. Everything after this is bonus.
And don't you love that it's 9:45? It's so appropriate for a Friday.
Okay.
Fish sandwich.
You know, I've fish sandwich.
Fish sandwich. Remember that fish sandwich Adina mentioned? We headed up the way to that stall, and while I was still reveling in my sandwich, Liel jumped on this one.
Hold on. These guys are very serious.
Tell us.
So the fish comes from Rustum, their favorite fishmonger, the former fine dining chef.
They take their favorite manishma. Hayiti b'chol is a kama chodashim.
So they have a whole, every sauce is made. They assemble every sandwich on the spot. And then
this is the chilazze.
Sea bass on the plancha with a crispy skin. Just, you know.
And then,
you know, they're checking the doneness of the fish on the plancha. I mean, come on. And then you'll see if he's going to add, they have all these special condiments and sauces that they make. This is highly recommended. So caramelized onions, that's kind of a new thing. That's not always here. Very good.
That's insanely great.
The Shuk isn't just a place for earthly delights. It's also a history lesson, a microcosm of so many challenges and struggles that Israel, still a very young country, had to face. We stepped off of HaCarmel Street and talked about the roots of the neighborhood.
All right, so you see we're like 10 meters out of the Shuk and it's so much quieter. The whole Yemenite Jewish immigration story is very dramatic. After the War of Independence, Yemenite Jews very committed to Israel, very religious. And all they wanted was to be here. And, you know, they were airlifted in massive airlifts in like 1950, 51. Operation Kanfei Nesharim on wings of eagles. And every family was given this one box home. It was like one room that had a gas balloon and a water hookup. And this neighborhood was right near the beach. The Shuk was right here. Nobody wanted to live here.
Because of the beach
it
or
just
the
was,
Shuk?
It just wasn't...
Awesome.
Exactly. It wasn't, for whatever reason, you know, I think in... early Israeli times, like Ashkenazi Jews who were the dominant culture wanted to live in North Tel in the, you know, the sort of Rothschild Boulevard Platonic ideal of what Israel should look like.
They
exactly.
To pretend it was Berlin.
Right. They wanted
not
to
dirty shooks.
Right,
and, like,
exactly. And so
beach.
This was a place that nobody would want to live. And I love the Yemenite quarter. We live here. In a sense we are gentrifiers, but I try to celebrate the local culture. But also many of them are cashing in, selling their homes and moving somewhere else, and securing their retirement. But there are still quite a few traditional Yemenite. Kwanishma! Chag Sameach! Fanta tia hayom?
Rov hasikuyim, lo latmetei.
Tov tov, bye. This is from the best Ethiopian restaurant, Balinja. This is the last remaining traditional Yemenite bakery. Manishma! He wants you to come in and see.
I just got to describe this place. That noise is from the giant ovens against one wall, ready to bake all sorts of breads, plus the fans going to keep the inside temperature somewhere below 100 degrees. There are huge stacks of wooden trays and boxes that I only can guess are for proofing and storing dough, and giant metal wok-shaped things that help form and cook some of the unparalleled delicacies. To be honest, just imagine some kind of Looney Tunes pita factory, and you're probably not that far off.
Taking the dough. This is for laffa. This is not lachuch. Lachuch is more like a pancake batter. It's made over there.
a different system. It has a lot of yeast in it, actually. A lot of yeast and baking powder.
And here's making the lapot, the beautiful Yemenite pitas. And they have a little turmeric in them, which makes them look really cool.
Fenugreek. Fenugreek is a traditional in Yemenite baking. It gives it like things like a pliability because it has like an elasticity to it.
I want to sit here. The beautiful. Look at that.
You okay? You want to put it on here?
No, it's okay. I'm just so happy with it. It's crispy on one side. This is like when you want to eat it.
I want a photo of you holding it the other side.
And then you sell chalot, and those wrap things are cubanas, which are the little overnight baked breads. Yemenites have the jachnun and the cubana. Yemenites are known for their breads. Malawa, jachnun, cubana, lachluch, like they're known, you know, it's cucina povera. It's making the most out of the least ingredients. They can make 10 amazing breads out of flour, water, yeast.
Toda.
So it's like right after when they started a bakery. I love this equipment.
Living here. Imagine like every morning he's like, yo, Josh, want to meet me at a place where we can just do the thing?
Yeah, let's go to this place with the stuff.
It's my life for a while, man.
So here's a question. Lots of different places, it takes a different amount of time to be somebody from there.
Yeah.
What's the number here?
I think language dictates that partly. I spoke Hebrew when I got here, which helped.
If you do it almost right away.
Yeah, but even so, I mean, this is, you know, the gathering of the exiles. There are people from everywhere.
Right.
Every language is spoken. I would say once you can get into a heated, high decibel argument on the street.
Okay.
That could be within 1 week or it could take years. This is my home, by the way. Live up there.
Nice. Before we left the Shuk for the day, Adina wanted us to go to one more place to meet her friend Arit Aharon, who grew up in the Yemenite quarter. She's a 5-foot firecracker of a woman with eyes that smile.
We're gonna go to meet Arit, my dear friend who lives like a 30-second walk from my house and makes lachuch, which is a traditional Yemenite pancake with egg in it.
Let's go.
Hi! Shalom!
Liel, Josh.
Hi!
She also speaks English, even though she pretends like she doesn't.
Can I go over here?
I
grew up here. Those times it was like a keyboard. When I be since like, I was like 18, 17, since then, it was like a keyboard. It was nothing here. Nothing here. Yeah, thank you. I go out with the animal. We used to have a lot of animal. I still have, you see, 2 cats.
Arit talked about how this little cube-shaped building felt in her childhood, where they had sheep and horses and trees of all sorts. They would ride the horses to the Yam, the sea, and frankly, it sounded pretty damn idyllic.
Yeah, and we used to have a tree, like tapuzin. Orange juice, like limonim, like strawberry.
Guayavot.
Guayavot. We used to have guayavot, but where Adina live right now, it was like this, home like this, okay? It was Habua Maganda.
The family of the iconic Maganda restaurant from the neighborhood, which is still here.
Yes.
It's like the classic grill restaurant, and their family lived where I live now.
Yeah, it was Kabura, so it's Maganda. There, it was a tree, guava tree.
Yes.
We used to go inside to take and run away, you know, children. It was beautiful, beautiful child.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to cook.
Arit enlisted everyone helping prepare the lachuch. It's a traditional Yemenite bread that's light and aerated and comes in a circle. Ellie was assigned to the stovetop, while Adina aggressively grated a tomato.
Mela.
When it was done, she transformed the bread into a sort of pancake sandwich, along with grated tomato, spicy shug, and a fried egg. Naturally, we also had to toast with some arak for good measure.
So, Adina.
Yes.
Obviously, it's also a holiday.
Yes.
But what are we seeing today that you wouldn't see when it's not Erev Shabbat? Like, when it's not about to be. Like, it's Friday.
Like, what's unusual today?
Yeah.
And more people. I mean, people come from outside of the city on Fridays to enjoy the shuk, to shop, to eat. You know, in a non-war time, I mean, this, like, until the minute the shuk closes, it's teeming with people, young people, eating, drinking, partying, celebrating. And people of all ages come here to enjoy
shuk.
You know, but it's I can already feel it's a quieter than usual today, but, you know. And more, there are certain vendors that only come out on Thursdays and Fridays. Produce vendors and things like that. But it's generally, the shuk is pretty consistently active. You know, it's not as, it's what's actually interesting, you know, you think of... You think of Tel Aviv as a city of progress, modernity, but, you know, Machane Yehuda Market in Jerusalem is much more developed, much more polished. You know, here they still don't have an awning over the shuk. If it rains, you're up to their ankles in water, and the birds flying around. There's no ventilation from the sun. So, in a way, Carmel Market is still stuck in time a little bit in a good way. Like, it'll change eventually. They've been talking about renovating the shuk for 15 years. But there's a lot of internal debate about how to do it, who wants it, who doesn't. So, you know, I like it just like this, personally.
Same.
Yeah. Irit, what do you want to say to the world?
First of all, I want to say to the world, thank you for everything. But I want to say to the world, please bring back the kidnap.
Yes.
And the soldier and everyone and peace in the world. What can I say?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hanukkah Sameach.
There are moments during a trip like this when you think to yourself, this cannot possibly get any better. And then something like this happens.
לדור ודור נגיד גודלך ולנצח נצחים ולנצח נצחים קדושתך
L'dor v'dor indeed. After all, when we were about to close the door on this trip and head back home, I again thought that things were about as good as they were going to get. And that's when, about 4 hours before leaving the country, the sabich was delivered by the motorcycle bandit himself. Sabich is a stuffed pita sandwich with fried eggplant, hard-boiled eggs, pickles, a tangy mango sauce called amba, and miscellaneous other toppings. And the motorcycle bandit? That's Israeli folk hero Ron Leibovitz. He's a legend because he peacefully robbed 21 banks in 1989 and 1990. As one of our colleagues put it, if you add up all the people you ever meet in your life, they will not have robbed as many banks as this one guy. And if it wasn't obvious, he's also Liel's dad. And as it turns out, he's my favorite sabich delivery guy on the planet.
So, Josh Cross, we are leaving here in a few hours, but I could not let you leave this country without tasting arguably its finest culinary delicacy. I am presenting you with this pita.
I'm not sure I'm worthy.
I have to warn you. A little bit.
He's a legend because he peacefully robbed 21 banks in 1989 and 1990.
Tell us who you are and what we're about to enjoy.
I'm the father of this creature,
And I just brought Ovad, which is one of the best street food in Israel.
So this is my dad, and what he brought is sabich, which is a traditional dish that you could really kind of only find here. It's fried eggplant in a pita with egg, with pickles, with tchina, and with amba, which is kind of a spicy, smelly, delightful mango chutney. And what's so special about Ovad?
Something into the taste of what he's doing. And he's like making the old shmir, you know. This is Maccabi against the Apoel, which means the red spicy sauce against the amba, which is yellow.
This is one of the greatest delights Israel has to offer. And now Josh Cross will eat it.
Wait a minute.
On mic.
Well, let me just say, because I don't think you told your dad this, when we were getting ready to come and it might have been dangerous and we were deciding whether or not to go,
I said,
if I'm going to die for a word, then my word is sabich.
Really?
Yeah, because you don't, this is the one thing you can't even remotely find in America. You can find falafel, you can find everything else. Sabich doesn't exist. And this is why, this was like... Yeah.
Now do you understand what I've been telling you all this time?
As I usually say, fuck, that's good. It is.
No, it's garbage.
Compared to this.
What?
Man, this is an absolute masterpiece.
You know, sabich means morning in Iraqi. My wife is of Iraqi. And every now and then we go to her mother in Netanya, and she is making the best sabich ever. They don't call it sabich, they call it our brunch, but it's...
Yeah, just taste the egg in this thing.
And after all that, all I can say is bon appetit or bitteofon.
Unorthodox is a production of Tablet Studios. The show is hosted by me, Stephanie Butnick, with Liel Leibovitz and Joshua Molina. We're produced and edited by Josh Cross, Robert Scaramuccia, Quinn Waller, and Ellie Blyer. And our team includes Tanya Singer, Courtney Hazlett, and Jerome Ruske, with help from Sam Hacker and Jordana LaRosa. Our team on the ground in Israel was Liel Leibovitz, Josh Cross, Tanya Singer, and Ellie Blyer. Special thanks to Tablet's Armin Rosen. Our episode art is by Esther Werdiger. Our logo is by Jenny Rosbrook. Our theme music is by Golem. We love to hear from you. Email us at unorthodox@tabletmag.com or leave a message on our listener line, 914-570-4869. Until tomorrow, shalom, friends, and Am Yisrael Chai. Broadway comes to the 14th Street Y on Tuesday, May 21st. Join us at 7 p.m. for a conversation with cast members from Prayer for the French Republic, the Tony Award-nominated best play. Tony nominee Betsy Adam and fellow cast members Frances Benhamou, Ethan Haberfield, and Ari Brand will take part in a lively discussion moderated by the New York Times' Mark Tracy. They'll talk about the play's themes of Jewish identity, French culture, and Zionism in times of rising anti-Semitism. This event is part of 14Y's spring season of Jewish culture. As a Jewish community center, 14Y offers a variety of opportunities for people to discover, explore, and connect with Jewish life. Visit 14streetY.org to learn more and purchase tickets to Broadway at 14Y. We are excited to announce Tablet's first ever essay competition, First Personal. Our editors are looking for previously unpublished work by writers living in North America who have never written for Tablet before. They are seeking submissions on the theme of belonging. Where do you feel at home or no longer at home, physically, spiritually, or culturally? How do you find community or a sense that you're a part of something larger than yourself? Are there places where you feel a sense of belonging or alienation or both? Tablet is seeking personal essays about your life and your experiences and how your thoughts and feelings have evolved over time. Tablet editors will review all submissions and choose their favorite five, which they will edit with the writers. The authors of those five pieces will be brought to New York City to read their story in front of a live audience. A guest judge will then select the winner. The winning essay will be published in Tablet, and the winner will receive $500. For more information and to submit your essay, please visit tabletmag.com/essaycontest.